Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. We come now to the next verse of Genesis chapter 3, and this is verse 16. Let me remind you that in verses 14 through 19 of this chapter, God is punishing the serpent and Satan, then the woman Eve, and finally the man Adam for their sin. And God works in a systematic way. It was Satan, having possessed the serpent, who first introduced sin, and second, it was Eve, who fell for the temptation and sinned, and she gave to her husband third, and he ate, he sinned. The first sin was Satan, so he gets the first punishment. The second sin was Eve's, so she gets the second punishment, and the third sin was Adam's, so he gets the third punishment. I trust that you'll notice the order when you look at this in your Bible. And so we come now to what God says to Eve. Let me read the passage and then we will dig in. As always, there is much here to learn. If you have your Bible nearby, pick it up and read along with me, Genesis 3, verse 16. To the woman, God said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. As we enter verse 16, there is something I want to highlight off the top. It is this. There is a marked difference between what God says in punishing Satan versus what God says in punishing Eve and then Adam. If you have been with us, you will remember that back in verse 14, as God began his two-verse judicial sentencing of the devil, God said, "Cursed are you." But when God continues bringing the woman to account for her sin, he does not curse the woman. And likewise, God does not curse the man. Only Satan is cursed. This is because Satan is beyond redemption. He will not be saved. But woman and man are not beyond redemption. God will offer to save them. God will offer to save us. In fact, as we just learned in verse 15, he, meaning Jesus, will bruise Satan on the head. That is the first announcement of the gospel. That is the promise of God that a Savior is coming, and he is Christ the Lord. So that first God offers salvation from sin to the woman and the man, then God rebukes, disciplines, dispenses with his justice for their sin. That is, inherent in their punishment is an offer for forgiveness. God will make a way for them to be redeemed from what they have done by sinning against him. Do you see how God treats the people he has made? Like Adam and Eve, God is our creator. We would never have been born into this world if it were not for the will of God that you and I both be here. And God loves everyone he has made. He is patient towards us. He desires that none of us will perish, but that all of us will repent of our sin through our faith in his Son, Jesus. That is what 2 Peter 3, verse 9 says. 2 Peter 3, 9. And we see that all the way back in Genesis at the beginning. God is holy and God is just. He must punish us because our sin means we deserve his punishment. Sin has consequences. But God is also merciful. And so he takes the initiative and extends to Eve and Adam and to all people who have ever lived since. The Lord extends his own saving grace towards us and says, "Come to me." If we will put our hands into the hands of Christ by faith and trusting in Jesus, we will be rescued, delivered, and set free from the sin that has entangled us. We will be set free from the sin that has kept us locked up as slaves. Are you a slave to sin? If so, then this is great news. This is the message God is sending the first woman and the first man, in that order. Jot this down in the margin of your Bible or in the notes section of your Bible app. God curses Satan, but God does not curse Adam and Eve. That's point one as we get started here at verse 16. After highlighting this good news of redemption, God offering people forgiveness for sin, there is one other thing I want to say up front, and this deals in logistics. It is possible that gentlemen within the sound of my voice might think, verse 16 is really for women. My wife will be very interested in this, or let me see if my daughter would be interested in hearing what Swallow has to say on this verse. I think I will skip this verse, take a break, do something else, and come back when he gets to verse 17. Any of you guys out there feel this way? If so, I hope you will not resist if I encourage you not to take that break. To be sure, this is a message for women, but also for men. And when we get to the practical application of this verse, you will want to hear what God is saying to you as a man, a husband, a boyfriend, a fiancé, a father, a grandfather, a son, whatever the case may be. Oh, as a brother in the Lord to your sisters in the Lord at your church as well. Or it is possible some women within the sound of my voice have read over this verse and you do not really like what it has to say. You've got pain in the childbirth, more pain in bringing forth children, and then we have this desire for the husband, but the husband will rule over you. What's this? You grant that the message comes from God, it is his word to Eve, but you do not like it. And it is not really in keeping with the kind of thinking that's popular these days. You are in the fight, pushing for the equality of women with men, and verses like this put a real damper on your fire. Once again, can I encourage you not to give up on God is in the coming days? Do not skip verse 16 in the text. Rather, come weekdays at this time on this station and via the podcast with an open mind, ready to learn and to wrestle with God's word to you. You may learn something you did not expect. And if you find yourself disagreeing with my interpretation, you could always write to me and express your disagreement or discontent. Offer me correction. I sincerely welcome the dialogue. My prayer is that we will lose no one on this journey through Genesis 3 at a verse like this. God has put it here for a reason, and the correct interpretation is timeless. So let us prayerfully and diligently study the scripture to show ourselves approved to God. That is what 2 Timothy 2:15 commands us to do. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Having said all of that, let me reread verse 16, and then let's see how God structures the consequence of sin. To the woman, God said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. God's punishment falls in relation to two objects. First, there are the children, and second, there is the husband. Regarding children, there will be pain. Regarding the husband, there will be rule. Let me say that again so I give you a chance to think about it, and then I want to develop this in Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3. God's punishment falls in relation to two objects. By objects, I do not mean things, I mean people. First, there are the children, and second, there is the husband. Regarding children, there will be pain. Regarding the husband, there will be rule. First, regarding childbirth, I want to remind you that God gave children to be a blessing. I'm reading Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Genesis 1:28 says, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. There is the blessing that being fruitful and multiplying, bearing children and bringing them forth into this world was to be. But when we get over to our verse this week, Genesis 3:16, we find that sin has tainted the blessing. It has not turned the blessing of children into a curse. I repeat, sin has not turned the blessing of children into a curse, but sin has tainted childbirth. Second, regarding marriage, I want to remind you that God gave marriage to be a blessing. I am thinking of Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, and verses 21 to 25. Let me read that all together, Genesis 2, 18 and 21 through 25. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." Down to verse 21. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man, and brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother, and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked, and were not ashamed." There is the blessing that marriage was to be. But when we get over to Genesis 3:16, we find that sin has again tainted the blessing. It has not turned the blessing of marriage into a curse. It has not. But sin has tainted the way the husband will treat the wife. Childbirth is a blessing. Being married to the husband is a blessing. But during these relationships of great blessing, the woman will feel the painful consequence of her sinful actions. And right about now, many a woman is saying to their radio and mobile phone as you hear this, "That's right, amen." You know firsthand of pain and sorrow related to your children, and you know of pain and sorrow related to your husband. So let's do this, shall we? All of us together, women and men, girls and boys, let's meet back here again tomorrow and talk about this verse right here on God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.